Well, another topic the president will surely be asked about later this hour during his end-of-the-year press conference is immigration. Remember the summer's crisis, the thousands of unaccompanied minors from Central America? One in three of these so-called border kids is still in the U.S., released to sponsors, usually a relative, while they wait their fate in immigration court. Many are seeking asylum, claiming that gang-related violence and extreme poverty threaten their lives. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, WBUR's David Boeri traveled to El Salvador to learn more. And this warning, David's report contains graphic descriptions of violence.
Through crowded streets in the capital city of San Salvador, new white vans and pickups have been conveying a steady supply of corpses to the office of the medical examiner. 52 murders in 72 hours, say the newspaper headlines. In the receiving room, the victims have kept the metal autopsy tables and attending doctors at full capacity. On display are the youth of El Salvador.
70% of the people who are killed are between 15 and 30 years old,
says Dr. Miguel Enrique Velasquez. According to a recent report from UNICEF, El Salvador has the world's highest rate of homicide for children and adolescents, and it's rising.
We are taught by nature that children bury their parents, but here in El Salvador, it's the opposite. Parents bury their children.
Many of those murders stem from the brutal violence of criminal gangs at war with each other and with El Salvador itself. I asked the chief medical examiner, Jose Miguel Fortin, if he can tell when the murders are committed by gangs. When a head is found but no body, he replies, that's a gang murder. When there is a body, but it's been dismembered, that's a narco-trafficking murder. And when the body was dismembered while the person was alive, that's a Mexican narco-trafficking murder. In the densely packed barrios of the municipality of Mexicanos, National Police Inspector Jorge Alberto Vasquez leads a force of 70 officers. With automatic handguns strapped to their thighs and rifles in their hands, they patrol neighborhoods in the foothills of the volcano San Salvador. We're having problems with gangs fighting for territory, the inspector says. It's in the slums and marginalized communities like this one, where half of El Salvador lives in poverty, that gangs have taken hold like tropical vines. The two biggest gangs are the notorious Made in America Mara Salvatrucha, a.k.a. MS-13, and its rival, known as MS-18 or 18th Street. They come with assault weapons, many with tattoos etched on their faces. The cops call this neighborhood a Zona Roja, or Red Zone, because the gangs are fighting for control. MS-13 is trying to take over.
Last weekend, in this house, killed a woman.
Woman was murdered? One?
Yes, the last weekend.
Then the inspector starts pointing. So people have been murdered in this house?
Yes.
They've been murdered here. They've been murdered in that house, which is about 50 feet away?
Yes.
They've been murdered over here, which is another 50 feet away?
Over there. Yes.
When you count gang members, the inspector says, you should add mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and cousins. Rival gangs think the same way. When one joins, the whole family joins. That woman who died here a week ago Sunday, the inspector tells me that first, she lost a son, shot to death by MS-13. Next, gang members came for her son-in-law. They killed him too. Then they came back for the woman's daughter, shot her three times in the stomach.
I pleaded with the mother, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. We told her several times, you have to get away. And now she's dead. She ignored our advice. It seems like people are resigned to their deaths. They know it's coming for them.
In the civil war that raged into the 1990s, this municipality of Mexicanos suffered some of the worst fighting. Across the country, right-wing death squads and army soldiers tortured and murdered with impunity. 75,000 Salvadorans died. Since the war ended, 73,000 have been murdered. And sons and grandsons of that war's soldiers are at the center of this one. Sandra Serrano is now a student at college.
First there were the death squads and now the gangs, which I think are much worse. Gangs are the 21st century death squads.
The country is no bigger than Massachusetts, and with the same population, yet 12 murders a day. As murders rise by 50%, the number of unaccompanied children coming to the U.S. border with Mexico has jumped almost 300%.
58% of children are fleeing for violent gangs.
It's the prime reason they're leaving, says researcher Carla Castillo. She helped interview 600 Salvadoran children who were caught in Mexico this summer and sent back home. Some were as young as 7, most between 12 and 17. And traveling without their parents, they risked murder, kidnapping, rape, beatings, and even the danger of falling from atop the Mexican freight train known as La Bestia, the Beast. Their choice, they told Castillo, was to leave El Salvador or to die.
The gangs are trying to recruit the children to join to the gangs. And if the children don't accept to join the gang, the gang members are going to kill the children.
Kill them?
Kill them.
Atop a hill facing the volcano San Salvador, police inspector Jorge Alberto Vasquez points to a huge water tank on the summit of another hill. Towering letters and numbers read MS-13. It's like a pyramid with the gangs on top. But the pyramid must have new soldiers. And so the gangs recruit boys and girls alike at adolescence, even younger. In schools and neighborhoods, they recruit by force. Initiation rites include beatdowns and gang rape and missions to kill rivals. A glimmer of hope is the fact that so many adolescents have rejected the gangs. The bad news is that they've had to flee their own homes for places like L.A. and Boston. The worst news is that if they're sent back home, they'll have to face an even bigger danger. The gangs whose threats made them run away in the first place. For Here and Now, I'm David Boeri.